So when we talk about craving, we talk about three kinds, okay? There's two different versions of the three kinds, and the first two of the three are pretty similar in the two versions. So there's the craving for happy feelings, okay? And the craving for the object that we think gives us the happy feelings. Then the second kind of craving is the craving to be free of unpleasant feelings. Okay, like when my flower is getting old, my flower is wilting, my flower is dying, somebody's going to throw my flower out, somebody's insulting my flower. Yeah, somebody's saying my flower is ugly, somebody's saying that their flower is better than my flower. Somebody who's going to steal my flower. Somebody who's looking at my flower in a way they shouldn't be looking at my flower. You know? So the craving to be separated from the unpleasant feeling. And, you know, to be separated from what we think is causing the unpleasant feeling. Okay? Whatever it is that's threatening our happiness at any particular moment. And then the third craving is described in a couple of different ways. The first is a craving for a neutral feeling not to diminish. We haven't talked about neutral feelings yet. When we have a neutral feeling of neither pleasure nor pain, because our mind is so obscured, what do we do in reaction to neutral feelings? We kind of space out, don't we? We zone out. Yeah, just la la land. You know, fall asleep, get bored, look out the window, space out. Okay. So sometimes there is a craving for the non-diminishment of a neutral feeling. Okay? Because we have a little bit of sense, well, if the neutral feeling diminishes, there might be some pain in there. So, you know, we're not going to... be nice if the neutral feeling were pleasurable, but let's not rock the boat too much. Okay? And then... another way to describe the third kind of craving, which to me hits home more, is a craving that arises at the time of death, which is... this tremendous fear of being separated from our body and our ego identity. Okay? So the craving for life, the craving for this body. Yeah? So that's a pretty big craving, because it's a craving for the self to continue to exist. It's a craving that is based on a tremendous fear that we won't exist when we die, because once we separate from this body, who are we? Yeah. Once we separate from everything around us, who are we going to be? So there can be a tremendous fear at the time of death of that we are ceasing. And so then the mind just craves and craves and craves, you know, to continue to exist, and craves this body in particular. Okay? So during our life, there's a lot of two of the three different kinds of craving, you know, to have the pleasant and be free of the unpleasant. And then at death, you know, this craving that is based on the fear that the I, the self, is going to cease to exist, the craving for existence. Yeah. So if we look, you know, our whole life, we're kind of buffeted around by craving, aren't we? You know, we think we're free. Especially we're Americans. We have free. We're freedom. Yeah. That is, certainty. You know. Our freedoms are getting gradually diminished, aren't they? By the president who's there to protect them. So, we were just buffeted around by all this craving, you know, our whole life. And we think we're free, but we're not really that free. Yeah? Because the more craving, the more attachment that we have to pleasure and to be free of pain and to our life and so on, then the less free we are, because then we just become like automatons, you know, doing anything we can to get the pleasurable hit and do anything we can to keep ourselves from experiencing anything unpleasant. Okay, that craving, which is the eighth link, gives rise to the ninth link, which is grasping. Grasping is an increase of craving. Okay, when grasping arises at the time of death, okay, what happens at the time of death, okay? When we're dying, then the mind craves this body, craves this existence. When we finally realize that, you know, I'm talking about an ignorant mind here. When our mind, our ignorant mind finally says, I'm dying, I'm not going to be able to hold on to it, then the thought comes, well, I want another one. Okay, I got to separate from this body, I want another body. So there's grasping. Okay, grasping at another existence. That craving and grasping water the karmic seeds on the mind stream. Okay? So the craving and grasping are what makes the karmic seeds start to ripen. Certain karmic seeds, you know, of course. Yeah? And so we're craving for one life, can't have that anymore, so we grasp at the other life. That makes the karma ripen. That ripening karma is the tenth link, which is called becoming or existence. Okay? So this is the mind as it's, you know, this is the action or the ripening karma, okay, that's going to propel us in to another birth. And so birth is the next link, the 11th link, birth. Okay? We're separated from that ego identity in that body. We want another one. They always say, be careful what you want because you might get it. We got it. We got another rebirth. Okay? We're doing the whole thing all over again. Yeah? We weren't content with beginningless, infinite rebirths. Okay, we weren't content being born as everybody and everything in samsara, in every kind of realm, having done every single thing there possibly is to do in samsara except to practice dharma. We haven't been content with all of that going on from beginningless time, and so we want to do it again. Okay, stupid? Yes. Okay? Do you see why the Buddhas have so much compassion for us? I mean, imagine what the Buddhas have to go through dealing with us. We are so arrogant, you know. I am a PhD. I know everything. And here we are. We're so incredibly intelligent that we take one samsara rebirth after another one that we've been doing the same boring thing since beginningless time and we aren't sick of it yet. You know? And the Buddhas have to put up with us. You know, here they are. They're trying to lead us to enlightenment. And we go, I have no time for this. I am a PhD studying the, you know, intricacies of the biological function of the da 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 da, you know. I don't know. And we're so busy. Yeah, here the Buddha's trying to, you know, keep us from taking another rebirth. I don't have time, Buddha. Come back later. Yeah, I'm too busy. I'm going to be a success. You know, I'm using all my artistic creativity now. And I'm making a lot of money and I have a lot of pleasure, so don't bug me. Yeah? You see what the Buddhas have to go through dealing with us? We are not easy cookies, are we? So we're grasping. There's the karmic seed ripens in becoming. We plop ourselves into another rebirth. Okay? So there we are in another rebirth. Sometimes it's better than the one we came from. Sometimes it's worse than the one we came from. But whatever it is, we are now 100% attached to it, creating a whole new ego identity, rerunning the same thing of there's a pleasant feeling, I want it, I'm attached to the object I think gave it to me, give it to me. There's an unpleasant feeling, I can't stand it, get it away from me, and I'm going to attack you if you don't. And we do the same thing again. And from the moment we're born, like we were talking about at the beginning, from the moment we are born, we are in the process of aging and dying. So aging and dying is the 12th link. Okay? So what do? We build a society that idolizes youth. And we are all aging and dying. Okay? And so we don't have fun aging, do we? Oh, I used to look so young and attractive, and look at me now. Yeah? And do you remember when you were a kid and you looked at your parents' generation and your grandparents' generation, you know, like at family gatherings, and there are all the grown-ups, they're doing such weird things. You know? Do you remember that? And then all of a sudden, you're a grown-up and you have kids? Yeah? And then your parents are now your grandparents' age. And then some of us are moving into our grandparents' age. Well, we all are, because if our grandparents lived any age, they went through what we are now. Yeah? So there we are, and, you know, the generation's flowing by, and we still feel like we're 21, and we're going to, you know, have everything in front of us. And then, you know, aging is continuing, and then there's death. And then at death, what do? We want to do the whole thing again. Yeah, we haven't had enough misery. We want more. Well, we don't want more. It's just that we're confused. We don't know. We don't know what causes happiness. We don't know what causes suffering. And so in our ignorance, we keep creating more and more causes for suffering. Okay, so this is how the 12 links works. And we just keep going around and around and around. And the whole underlying thing is the ignorance. Yeah? Because we don't understand how things exist. And especially because we, you know, believe in this inherently existent person here.
What was number three?
Number three was consciousness. Okay, so we had ignorance, and then creates karma, which is planted on the consciousness, which is three. Okay, that gives rise to a birth, name and form. Then we get the six sense bases. Okay, then we get contact. So, you know, sense organs, contact objects. Then we get feeling. Then we have craving and grasping. Becoming, birth, and then aging and death. Okay. So that all 12 of those is one complete cycle of the 12 links. Okay. But all these different sets of 12 links are all kind of overlapping and interrelated, because if you think of it, any time that motivated by ignorance, we do a volitional action, we are starting a new set of 12 links. So how many new sets of 12 links have we begun today? Okay? We have more sets of 12 links. We like to accumulate things, right? We have more beginnings of sets of 12 links today than we did have yesterday, because we did more volitional actions today. Okay? Yeah? So it's compounded interest. just keeps doing. So these different sets of 12 links, like I was saying, they kind of interlink with each other. And it can take 2 or 3 lifetimes to go through one set of 12 links. Okay, so let me give you some examples. Okay, so let's say I'm in my workplace. Somebody did something I don't like. Yeah, I get really mad at them and I say some really nasty things to them. And then I say a bunch of nasty things about them behind their back. Right away, that's 2 sets of new 12 links that we're starting. Okay, one from harsh words and one from disharmonious speech, creating disharmony with our speech. But let's just take the one of harsh words, okay? So I said blah, 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 blah to this person, okay? I did a really good job of ridiculing them, making them feel really lousy. Yeah, I said exactly the things that are going to hurt their feelings, and I felt so proud of myself afterwards because I was really ticked off, okay? So there's the first 3 of the 12 links, okay? The ignorance, the karma, implanted on the consciousness. Okay, now, so that's the first 3 of one set of 12 links. Meanwhile, the present body that I'm living in right now is, and the realm I'm living in now, is the link of, birth and aging and death from another set of 12 links from the past. Okay, so what I'm just having this body is, link 12. I'm going through link 12 from a previous set. But now I've just created these 3 sets. And then I talk bad about that person behind their back, so I started another set of 12 links. Okay? So then, let's say I go through this life, and then at the moment of death, okay, I'm dying in a hospital in Seattle. Typical hospital in Seattle with I'm dying in a room with the television on. Right? How many people die in rooms with TVs on in hospitals? Okay? So I'm dying in this typical hospital room with the television on. And there's all sorts of noise going on. Who knows what. But anyway, I'm unhappy with the situation, or the television. Maybe I don't like the noise of the television, so my mind is like agitated and angry because of that. Or maybe I'm watching, one of these violent TV programs, so it's making my mind it's stirring up the violent tendencies in my mind. Okay, so those kind of circumstances, maybe they make that karma that I created, 35 years before when I was at an action I don't even remember now, when I got mad at my colleague, okay? Because remember, we fast-forwarded here from, today to 35 years ahead, okay? And it makes that karmic seed ripen, okay? So then I have I have the craving, the grasping, the ignorance, the karma, and the consciousness, okay, created in this life. At the moment of death, then I start craving, this body, don't want to separate from it, start grasping at another one. And then that particular karma is in the process of ripening. So that's the link of becoming. And it starts to ripen. And it makes me, attracted in the intermediate stage to being born as a raccoon. Okay? Because raccoons go like this, the same way I did when I, let's say, was with my colleague at work. Okay, so here I am, craving, grasping, want another body, have to have another body. Raccoon body is there. Mind takes rebirth in it. So then you have name and form, you have six sense sources, you have contact, you have feelings, you have birth, you have aging and death. Okay? So in this particular life, you had, of that set of 12 links, you had the first three, okay, the ignorance, the karma, and the consciousness. And you had the ones that also, the craving, grasping, and becoming at the time of death. Those were in this life. And then your next life, you get all the ripened results of the rebirth and the six sense organs and the contact and the feeling and the aging and death and all that stuff. Okay, so that's how it's happening over two lifetimes, one set of 12 links. Are you following me?
No.
Okay. Also, the one set of 12 links can occur over three lifetimes. So let's take a different scenario. You know, well, let's take the same thing that started out from the beginning. I got mad at this colleague and I said really nasty things and I was very proud of myself for really telling them off and hurting their feelings. So I still have the ignorance, the karma, and the consciousness. Okay. Now, let's say at the time of death, I die and I'm with a Dharma friend and my Dharma friend is saying, ah, remember the Buddha. Now, and take refuge in the three jewels and generate compassion for sentient beings and forgive everybody that you need to forgive and apologize to those you need to apologize to and just have a heart full of love and compassion for yourself and all beings and make prayers for a good rebirth. And so our friend is kind of telling us, you know, what to do was we're, you know, in the confusion of our death. And so there's still craving and grasping, but our mind is in a virtuous state because we're thinking about love and compassion and we're taking refuge in the three jewels. So what happens is a good karma ripens. Okay, that karma from telling off our colleague doesn't ripen because when we die, our mind is in a quite a wholesome state. So instead, a karma created you know, maybe from a previous life or from this life, let's say a karma of having been kind to somebody, that karma ripens at the time of death. Okay? And so then the next life, we have a good rebirth because that karma that's from another set of 12 links is now ripening and it throws us into another human body. So we got very fortunate we have another human body and that goes on. Then, so we're having that whole human body and that's good. That's the second life. But then at the end of that lifetime, okay, let's say we were born as a human being, you know, as a result of our good karma and we have quite a good lifetime. But, you know, we go and we, you know, enlist in the Marines. And we want to go to Iraq, and we go to Iraq and, you know, kill a bunch of people in the process of it, okay? Quite deliberately, quite intentionally. Then, you know, we had the first life, this life. Then we had the life as the second human, another human being, okay, that came from a different set of 12 links. That one, we're the soldier. Then at the time of death, you know, of being the soldier. Yeah. Then let's say you're wounded in battle. Then all of a sudden you have so much regret. Oh my goodness, I'm dying and I killed all these other people. And now I have, you know, I just feel so terrible about having killed them all. And I thought I was doing something good at the time I did it. And now I realize that, you know, it wasn't so good. And the mind's very confused and you still have craving and grasping, but the mind is, you know, filled with regret and maybe very angry at that time and very confused. And so it creates the stage, you know, that craving and grasping become the craving and grasping from the set of 12 links from when we told our colleague off. Okay? So even though that karma of telling our colleague off, it didn't ripen at the end of this lifetime. It ripened at the end of next lifetime. And then, so we had the ignorance, karma, and consciousness this lifetime, the craving, grasping, and becoming in the next lifetime, and then the results in the lifetime after that. So that's how one set of 12 links can go over three lifetimes. Okay? And so when you think, you know, how many sets of 12 links are there, you know, at different stages in our mind? It's pretty amazing. It's kind of scary. That kind of getting scared can be a kind of wisdom scariness, because it's going to push us to do some purification practice. And it's going to push us to be much more careful about the actions we do and the actions that we abandon in the future life. Okay? So sometimes, you know, when we understand this situation, sometimes it may just, you know, when you think about it, it can seem so horrific. But it's the kind of horrific that comes from a wisdom understanding that is going to propel us into action. Okay? And so then we go, oh my goodness, you know, look at the situation I'm in. I don't want to continue to live in this kind of ridiculous cyclic existence situation anymore. I need to sit down and do some really serious practice and purify my mind and create some positive potential and learn the Dharma and try and actualize the determination to be free and bodhicitta. And especially, I really want to generate wisdom, because it's wisdom that is going to cut the root of the ignorance and going to liberate me and get me free of, you know, this whole tangle of all these different sets of 12 links. Okay? So that's why we meditate on the 12 links, because it's quite a sobering thing. When you really meditate on it, and it's not this intellectual thing, but you think, you know, this is really what my life is all about, then things in your mind really shift a lot. Yeah, they dramatically shift. Because then the mind stops being so involved with all the ridiculous things that we get involved in this life. Yeah? We begin to see, wait a minute, you know, I'm just sitting here living on automatic, grasping at everything I like, pushing away everything I don't like. This is all just, you know, totally ridiculous. And so I want to switch my priorities, and now spiritual practice is, I'm seeing, is actually much more important than, you know, having a fantastic job and living in a beautiful house and, you know, meeting the right person and having a lot of money and protecting my reputation and all this other stuff. We begin to see, you know, spiritual practice is the most important thing. And so when your spiritual practice becomes very important in your life, then you no longer have time to get upset about all the stupid things we usually get upset about. And we no longer have time to run around chasing all of our flowers. Yeah, because we realize that our flowers are here today and gone tomorrow. Okay, but we realize instead that our life has an incredible meaning and purpose that goes beyond chasing flowers. And we realize that, you know, there's the potential within us to be liberated from cyclic existence and even to attain full enlightenment and help other people be liberated from cyclic existence. So all of a sudden, our life has all these, you know, talk about, you know, doors opening in your life. Your mind becomes wide open and you can see so many incredible things that you can do with your life now that seems so much more valuable than getting upset because you didn't get the parking space you wanted. Okay? So, you know, this kind of meditation shakes things up and asks us to really examine our priorities and set our priorities wisely. So that leads to a transformation in our life. because we realize that if we can cease ignorance, then we cease karma, then we cease consciousness, then we cease name and form, and so on and so on and so, and that's how we cease aging and death. Okay? We're not going to cease aging and death by the scientists coming up with a cure for death. Okay? We are not going to cease aging and death by cryogenics. You know, that thing where they freeze your body or freeze your head or whatever so that they can defrost you later when science has made sufficient advances where they think they can revive you. Okay? That's not how we're going to end aging and death. Okay? We're going to end aging and death by not creating the causes for rebirth in cyclic existence. So then our mind says, well, if I'm not reborn in cyclic existence, what in the world am I going to do? You might be happy. Yeah. And you might have love and compassion for others, and you might, you know, come back and help them out of choice, but not out of ignorance. Okay? There's a whole lot of other things we can do that are so much more worthwhile. And that all of that opens up to us when we stop chasing flowers. You know?